going on with some of these nuggets of glory in the Philippians. I thank the Lord that we are encouraged, that we go on with more light upon light, and it's all by His grace. And I pray that as we look into this precious letter to the Philippians, such heights in this. You think about all of the factors that are behind this. First and foremost, the love of the Holy Ghost. But you have Paul, and you know, they put him in prison, and they pretty much deserted him, you know. And there were some really high times with Paul. There were a lot of people at times that really rejoiced in the Word of God and got excited about it and seemed to run well and were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But then, you know, as they say, the rubber started hitting the road. And, you know, those that were following Paul as he followed Christ kind of fell off. But here he is, could have been greatly discouraged, but God had a divine appointment with him, which was the same divine appointment with us. Because Paul had the joy book of the Bible to be written through him. And you think about who he penned that letter to. He penned it to the saints, the Philippian saints. That letter to the Philippians. The horses, the runners, also related to that Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love. We see that in Revelation chapter 3. We see that the Philadelphia church is the one that's spoken of, that those are that little handful of saints that are alive and remaining. See, I love that, alive and remaining. See, they're alive in that love. They're not just going through the motions. They're alive in love. And they're remaining because they're here. They're, in a sense, taking breaths on this earth. But when the Lord comes, when he calls for his bride, and it says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that there is going to be a trump. Matter of fact, the first trump. And it's going to be the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Clouds, as it says, the cloud of witness. I've always been wanting to meet Moses and all of them as well, too. Praise God. There'll be time for that. But there's a bridegroom that's going to be met in the air by them that are alive and remain. And this is exactly who Paul, in that depth of sorrow, which the world would have thought it would have been, God brought forth the joy book of the Bible. Kind of tells the story of your life sometimes, isn't it? Might even be the story of your life right now. Kind of feel like you're in prison, but the Lord will turn it real quick and he says, oh no, you're just a prisoner of my love. This is love constraining time. You're being pressed out of measure. Praise God. But you're being pressed for a purpose. You're being pressed to fit a dress. I said that to a brother the other day. I don't want to hear that. I said, you better want to hear that. Well, you know the way the world's... I said, now listen. You're going to have to get romantic with the Lord and understand what he's revealing to us. And then to really understand, this is the only type that we could really receive. What it will be... Come on. Come on. You know... eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. That's exciting. Now, I got some thoughts. And I thank the Lord, especially the thoughts that he gives me, as he says, yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. But yet still, I tell you what, I think about my own life here and what he's shown me, the way out of the no way, the beauty for ashes. I don't think I've seen anything yet, praise God. Amen. But here we go. There's something that really has jumped out to us. And I'll have to say, I know it's to us. But Paul is really praying here and encouraging those that are the partakers of his grace. I love that. Partakers of my grace, he says. This is to those that are the partakers of my grace. It doesn't say that anywhere else in the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, I pray we understand that divine height of this intimate and ultimate all-believing grace. That's what Paul apprehended. That's what he took. That's why he says in this same wonderful letter that I may apprehend that which of I'm apprehended. Grace, divine, marvelous, infinite, the heights of grace. And tonight, we're going to go over here to the 9th verse, and let's go ahead and read that together. And Paul says, and this I pray, my, oh my, he's praying now, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Once again, it's very clear. What is the mark? Love. It is. It's very, very clear. It's very, very evident. It's very, very simple. This wonderful walk, this wonderful race, is all about love. It's not about works. It's not about what I can do in my might. This is about knowing the love of Christ. How just incredible and powerful and the purpose behind it for you to be his wife. Just get it real personal. Not for him just to have a wife, but for you to be his wife. That's the love that we're talking about. That is what he delivers up, praise God, every time we'll come to him, desiring his grace to show us in spirit, Lord, what is all your perfect and complete will? I want you and you and you and you to be my spouse. That's it. And I thank God this is on the mark. But more and more love, he says, in knowledge and love in all judgment. Now notice this. You notice it's love in these things, isn't it? So I want you to really understand this. Without love, all knowledge and all judgment is meaningless. It's meaningless. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love brings spiritual encouragement. That's why you can be around people that know a lot of truth, but you know what? They really don't encourage. You know why? Because they don't have any love. And that's the truth. And that's why we want truth and love. And thank God that's what he is. And I love it because so perfectly in verse 8, you know, we always kind of got to cheat and go back to and forward and all that. But it's wonderful. You figure this out here. He says, for God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Do you see what bowels that he took upon? That he entered into? He entered into the very love of Christ. And see, with these bowels that we're talking about of Jesus Christ, that's speaking of fruitfulness. We know this is speaking of one thing. This is speaking of one thing and to one thing, and that is his wife. That's the bowels. If you even go back to the Song of Solomon, it speaks of those things, about the fruitful place, about what she is to him. As she started out, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. By the end of that precious Song of Solomon, I'll tell you what, all that bridegroom is saying, oh man, let her kiss me. Kiss me, your lips are sweeter. That's the best wine. Fill me up. That's what we become by the grace of God when we let him kiss us with this immense grace. And believe it. See, grace causes us to believe the word of God. Grace is what takes us on in the word of God. Grace reveals it. Grace shows it. And then grace gives you the power to know that it's for you. And then grace shows you and lets you know that we're his workmanship. And he'll perform that good work, won't he? That excellent thing for him. The vessel that's set aside, sanctified only for the master's use. That's what he wants you to be. So, this is the wife, the readied wife. As the word of God tells us, this grace has made her ready. How incredible. And that's why this letter of full joy is written to these Philadelphia saints, because these are the ones that are full of love. And when you're full of love, I'll tell you what, you'll be a full overcomer. Love overcomes. It's not your might. It's not your discipline. It's not how religious you are. It's not. Love. And if we're not completely allowing that love to reign, we haven't fully overcome. There's things that are still stuck because we're not letting love take over. We'll hit that here in a moment. I hope you hang around. So, the longing and the prayer of this precious brother, he says more love and more love abounding. And I love this. We need to understand how abounding this is. This is the same word. It's the same meaning as when you go over to the word of God that says he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So you have to think about this. He's really saying that your love would abound exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, and more. You think he's emphasizing something here? In knowledge and in all judgment. Now, people want to just focus on knowledge and judgment all the time. But brothers and sisters, it's love in those things. Remember that. It is love in those things. And I think that's one of the greatest checks we can ever have in our lives. You talk about the discerner of our hearts. Are we motivated in love? Are we moving in the love of Christ? Are we moving to hammer? Are we moving to just make something fit? Are we moving, well, I know the word of God. I've laid down the tracks and I'm going to run the train. I'm going to tell God to run that train over my tracks. It doesn't work that way. And that stone cold, it can be perceived. I'll assure you that. But this love is none other than the agape divine love. This is the depth of bridal love. Now look at what this love in us, he desires, he says, to abound in knowledge. And let's be specific about what's being spoken here. This is specifically the knowledge through Paul's gospel, isn't it? Yes, it is. This isn't just knowing here and there. This is knowing something very precise. This is knowing the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This brings it right back once again. And I love that as the Lord spoke to my heart many, many years ago. We have to know who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and what's being spoken about. So you think, who's speaking here? Paul speaking. We understand it's the Holy Ghost. But this is a letter that was written by Paul. This is the chosen vessel unto God. Now, it's not that one book of the Bible or this is more important than that. And I understand we talk about the high watermarks of the Paul's epistles. And they are. But that wonderful gospel that was given to Paul was also written in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's all over the Word of God. Because it's the gospel of his glory, and it was in a hidden mystery. Praise God. They wrote those things for us. They were there. But no one could see it until two things. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, and then the infilling of the Holy Ghost and that love shed abroad to reveal to you the mystery that was shown to Paul. When that's revealed, and you know this as we go along, we go into the Old Testament. Well, that's Paul's gospel. And that's Paul's gospel. And that's Paul's gospel. Because it's bridal truth. And then you just sit there and you just shake your head and you say, oh Lord, I am in awe of God. You talk about the fear of God. That's what the fear of God is. The awe of your bridegroom. Where you just, you are just amazing. You're so smart. I love to tell him he's so smart because he is. He's just brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, I love him. I love his mind. It's incredible. His ways, past finding out, but yet my heart knows them. Praise God. But see, this is the height of love. Paul's gospel is the height of the love that he's going to share. And the height of that love that he's going to share is with his wife. See, Paul brought the message to the wife of Jesus. Who would be that wife? Who would sit there at the well and listen? A lot of people busy, people walking around and all of that. But there was one that was going to listen to this. And it was going to be at one place and it was going to be at the well. And one person was going to deliver that, and that was going to be the messenger, if you will, the Holy Ghost. That was it. And we're at that appointment, aren't we, right now? Praise God. And we're sitting there, we're listening, but yet we're still on the camel, and we're going, and we're listening, and yet now you're just sitting on the camel, which is the well. That's right there, is the Holy Ghost giving you that wonderful word. And we know that camel is just us. You got to ride, that flesh got to go, you know? It's the only thing that's going to take you there. You ain't going to get my camel and I ain't going to get yours. Some people like to look at those as trials. Oh, no. You know, yeah, camel is a trial. I'm a trial to myself. I'm a trial to other people, too. I sit here and meditate on what a trial I really am. We're not going there. But God. How about we just say that? Let me get back into this. This is sweet. But see, this is the wife that that those that know this love, that know the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of Christ. And see, they know it, and they know it. Don't you know the bridal truth in such simplicity now? Isn't it simple? No, really, come on. Isn't it simple? This isn't, you know, trigonometry or, you know, some type of calculus. This is simple. It is a cookie on the shelf. Ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ, thanks be to God, is just like his great salvation. It is. Because it's the word of God. And when it's shown to us like that, glorified together with him is something that's a cookie on the shelf. Amen? It's faith like a child. It just believes. Isn't that wonderful? See, you just believe it because it's so true. And we thank God for this. And that's why it's so wonderful to love him in this love. But this word knowledge that we begin here with, this word knowledge is a very special meaning in the Greek. That word is epinosis. There's gnosis and then there's epinosis. And epinosis is the height, if you will, of knowledge. It's the depth of knowing something. It means to know precisely, correctly, exactly, fully, intimately. It means to fully discern. That's this kind of knowledge we're talking about. And I thank God that must be rightfully divided truth, wouldn't you say? That's exactly what this is. This is when, praise God, it's not just knowing words, brothers and sisters, but it's knowing the intent of God's heart of grace. It's knowing the intent of his heart. See, there's people that'll know the word and can quote scripture, but do they really know the heart of God in that scripture? Do they really know the meaning of what the Lord, by the grace of God, is giving in that scripture? There's things on the surface, and I get those things, and they're wonderful things to receive. But I want to know the ways of God. I don't want to just know how he acts. I want to know the ways of God. Lord, I want, and I'm thankful because he wants me to know that. He's invited me into his heart. I thank the Lord. I know how my lover's heart thinks. And it thinks about me, and it's moving, hallelujah, in my life for me. And he's taken me places, praise God. And he takes me in furnaces, and he takes me out in the desert. And I'll tell you, he'll put me on a high mountain, but he knows I can't be there too long. Sometimes you get a big head, and he got to take you somewhere else, you know. Praise God. That's why he fit us tightly together, didn't he? Compacted us, you know. As long as we're not being turkeys, we're going to be just fine. But you see, this is very sweet because this is not just knowing the will of God, but this is knowing all his perfect and complete will. I love how the word of God comes through like that. See, it's not just to know a little bit, it's always all. And I've always loved Paul's alls because it's complete. And that's the message that Paul was given, or the wonderful proposal. It's the message that fulfills or completes Jesus. And that's the bridal message. And it's so sweet to know that that's what we have. But see, this is the whole counsel of God we're talking about, and nothing withheld. This is something that Brother Hill said, and I love thinking about this. There are many doctrinal truths in the Word of God. There are. There's the doctrine of baptism and the gifts and all of these wonderful things. And they're all very precious, special, and they're needful for our lives. But brothers and sisters, if we really want to win Christ best, we best not miss the doctrine of first love. The doctrine of first love. And I love that. It just hit me again. And it best be the height of all of our attention and praise, better be that doctrine. Amen. And you don't leave it. And that's why Paul was so incensed to tell them, if anybody ever comes and preaches to you another gospel, let him be accursed, even if it was me. See, he didn't want them to rely upon him. He wanted them to rely upon that message, the word of God. Amen? See, again, how beautiful that is. See, we want to be transparent. We don't want people to look to us. You don't want that. Like I said, one of the greatest blessings, and I thank the Lord. You think of this church in Denver, Living Waters. It's just the word of God. Who's that pastor out there? That's great. I don't know. I used to tell the kids, I was telling Brother Duane today, I love that. There was a little phrase that I coined. I said, wealth with obscurity is bliss. They said, well, what does that mean, Dad? I said, that means, you know, it's nice to have money and no one knows who you are. Then they don't bug you. But I thought, you know, that was kind of funny and that type of thing. We were talking about that because I knew a lot of wealthy people and some of them were very famous. And I'll tell you what, they couldn't even go out and get a hamburger without getting, you know, hey, aren't you, blah, blah. And it just, it was awful. But I thought, Lord, you didn't give me that for that because it really hit me this last week. Wealth with obscurity is bliss. I'm wealthy. I don't even want you to see me. I don't want you to even know me. I just want you to know him. That's bliss. And I thank God. Some of these things are coming and being made known to me. Hallelujah. But these are the things we need to be about, brothers and sisters, is we need that height of praise. I was recently visiting with the sweet brother, and he'd been in this meeting for a long, long time, and but yet got around the cerebral religious ones, and my heart was heavy. And so he had this new little thing. I want to be a prophet, priest, and king in my home. I thought, a prophet, priest, and king in your home? I said, oh my goodness, I shook my head. I said, you've lost the vision. You need to be about being a priest and king to God. You need to be about being one of them four living ones that'll be ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne. Everything in my home, I'm going to tell you right now, that's already been done. Because you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I trust him for these things. Praise God. And when he is first and foremost in my life, I'll tell you what, I will exceedingly abound in everything else that's an after effect. And it will happen. And I thank God. And he'll chasten and correct. He'll do all of that. But know this about this word knowledge, this epinosis. It's very interesting. It's only used by two writers in the Word of God, a few times by Peter, but overwhelmingly by Paul. And specifically, Paul uses this meaning of the word knowledge 16 times, and 16 is the number of love. And I love that. You know, these things that have meaning and just a double and triple and quadruple portion to us. Amen? But we see this is where Paul was so overwhelmed and encouraging. And this is to us. Abound more and more and more and more and more in love in full discernment. Know the precise exact mark of love. And brothers and sisters, if this isn't high calling of God in Christ Jesus all over this, it just is. And I thank the Lord that this meeting is about that love. And I thank God that we get together here and all we can speak about is our lover. And isn't that true when you're really in love with somebody? Aren't you captivated with them? Do you remember those days when you were just, you know, Twitter-pated, as they call it, all those things? You couldn't think about anybody. You couldn't think about anything else. And whenever you were around people, you were talking about that person you loved to the point where they said, please shut up. Enough. And then, you know, you get to the point where, I think I know that person better than you, you know, because you talk about them all the time. But is this what's on our hearts? Is this what is on our minds? Is this what we live and breathe, praise God. But and I want us to understand this. This isn't that we just reach this point of love, but we continue to overflow in it. This means to become infinite in it, superabound, always exceeding any limit. That's another meaning of this word abound. And thanks be to God, I believe we're knowing that. Hallelujah. Amen. See, and you can see him doing that in the meeting, and we're excited for one another. We didn't just stagnate. We went on. There was more. It wasn't, well, the message is done, or this is the way I wanted to hear it, or this is what I felt like I needed to be in this church, and this is what I felt like I wanted to hear. No, it's not about what you want to feel. It's what God is preaching. Preach the word. And you go on with this. But you see, this is what God is after, and this is what, again, will be the product of it. But this emphasis of love, brothers and sisters, that without continuing and increasing in it, you'll lose the readiness. Truth and love must always be preached. Spirit and truth must always be the goal of his grace in us. This is the love that lives for the one thing, the day of Christ. Isn't that what we live for? Amen. The one thing. The day of Christ, the beginning of that. That bridal embrace in the air. Oh, hallelujah. But see, we're not done yet. We got a double portion here. Not only are we to superabound in the knowledge of love, it says, but also in love in all judgment. And notice that. In love in all judgment. In love and all judgment. Let's get that meeting. Now this really gets good here, I have to tell you. Think about what the Lord wants for you. You know, his desire is for you to rule and reign with him. He wants you to judge with him, doesn't he? Someday, praise God. He wants you to pour out the judgments with him, praise the Lord. He wants you to be one of those that'll take those bowls of wrath as those angels would go before him and he would, that altar, and he'd give them and they would take it out and whoo, that he would be magnified. That we would be in that four living ones company, that we would rule and reign jointly together with him. But this judgment in love, brothers and sisters, is alive right now in the wife. And this love means discernment. It means intelligence. Now, we know that this isn't about judging one another. We know that. The Word of God tells us that. By grace, brothers and sisters, we're spiritual. We discern. We understand when things are a little bit out of sorts. But I'm not there to judge it. I want to be readied as a spiritual one to restore. That's what we want to desire. And you know what? God delivers that, because I believe the first thing we do for people that are hurting, the first thing we do with people that have made very big mistakes, I pray would be pray. Pray. I pray that when somebody would, really, let's just use the word failure, or whatever it is, that we would have a broken heart for that brother or sister. That it would hurt, that you go, oh, Jesus, I love them so much. And Lord, encourage them, right there, encourage them. You know, just bring that love in. Let them know how much you love them. Draw them nigh to you, Lord. That's the spiritual one. But see, this judging and discernment in love here, you have to go back and think about that scripture that says it's of kings to search out a matter, to discern it. Stay with this. Judge it in love as to what the Word says, not what you want to cast judgment on. Rightfully divided truth, amen. All in accordance with sound doctrine, line upon line. But this even goes further than that. I believe Paul truly is preaching something here and praying something for us. That the Word would search us in discernment. Is not the Word the discerner of our hearts? Can you hear David say right now, search me, O Lord. If there be any wicked way, let's find it. Let's do that. And we see that that's the mind of Christ. That would be the Word of the Lord. Amen. That would be what would be reigning in us. It has to be revealed to us. And the Lord does those things. Amen. Do you ever ask the Lord to search your heart for more love? Do you ever ask the Lord, Lord, let me love more perfectly? Let me love more completely? That just means, Lord, let me love beyond the love that I'm at right now. And I tell you, as I come tonight, I was thinking so sweetly, and it just struck me as what an opportunity for every person in this place right now to love more. I believe that there's many situations that are sitting here right now where love is lacking. And in some places of our lives, love is abounding. But there's little compartments of our life we're not allowing love to just break through. And I can only encourage you with what we're reading tonight. We're talking about that your love would abound exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let that love judge your heart. Are you bitter in anything here tonight? Are you bitter towards anybody here tonight? Is there a hardness towards something still in your life? Let the love of God break it. And it can be right now. It really can. To the point where you just got to go to that brother or sister or whoever it would be and just say, you know what, I love you. Let's stop this stupidity. And then if you haven't received that, and you're the one receiving that apology or love, if you will, I'd rather say love, allow the love of God to allow you to receive it. As opposed to judging, is the person sincere or not, or whatever it would be. Do we really want to be a full overcomer? I'm not going to examine to say, hey, I know it's of the Father to give who's going to sit on the right hand and who's going to sit on the left. But I'll tell you one thing. He says, if there be any root of bitterness, you don't want it. Don't duck this. Don't duck it. There's a time in my life I ducked it with somebody for a long time. And it was one of the greatest advances. After the Lord, by his grace, allowed me to let him to do that. I know that it's not me still. But I still need to let God. Let God. This is the wife that reigns in full love with him now. Does Jesus have any hang-ups about your brother or sister in Christ? Hear a pin drop in here right now. Just, you're getting squeezed. The love of Christ constrain you. You can get by and be happy still. I know that. But I'll tell you what, you're missing a full joy. You're missing a full joy. And if the Lord gives you unction, go on with it. You don't want to be abusive in a sense with somebody at all, but I'll tell you what, I still want to be spiritual to say, look, I do love you. Even if you haven't received this, I love you. That's God's love. See how aware he wants us to be of his love? And not of his love out there somewhere. I'm talking about of his love in here. The knowledge of it, that his love would judge all things pertaining to my life. I know I'm not a perfect guy. I'll just tell you that. And I rejoice with him daily, and oh, what a wretched man that I am. I realize what this is. And I get closer to mercy every moment. But I do. I want, the one thing is, I want to be motivated by the love of God. No other agenda but the love of Christ. No other motive but that his love would abound. Amen. Not the law, not driven by my guilt, not by my might, but the abounding love in us to know him. And then letting that all-glorious love change us more and more into more of his image, which will even be more love. Isn't that something? But I'll tell you, there'll be people that'll just be completely disgusted with you. You love so much. But if you see the word of God, you see what a lover of our soul he is. I mean, he is just helplessly and hopelessly in love. He just is. He's like a completely smitten youth, a young roe, as a matter of fact, he calls himself, that can't get over it. And I think about the depth of the person, Christ the man, that he wants us to share with him. And that he wants to share with us. And I understand that's with Jesus, but by the grace of God, am I not preaching tonight to the body? How could there be true love if love is with dissimulation? If I'm hypocritical about the head and his body? Well, I really like your mind, but I sure don't like your body. No. Jesus. Praise God. See, he wants her as his joint heir. He wants her as his equal partner. This ruling and reigning together with him is as kings, praise God. I was thinking, you know, Moses, so sweetly it says, knew him face to face as a friend. And here we are with a message and an opportunity and a promise that we can know him face to face as the lover and spouse. You think about that, and that is something, but that's our Lord. As we close this up, it's overwhelming to think of this grand plan of love. You think about how highly valued and esteemed his wife is to him. He cherishes her. Her value is above everything else. And to think, because his love and the plan of his love, all eternity waits for her. Nothing is moving forward into another age. It's all waiting upon her. Nothing will move forward into the next age until she is present with him. I mean, that's incredible. And that's you. That's why he's giving you this message. I mean, if you believe the Bible, why not believe this? Because this is what the Bible says. Why would we take bits and pieces out and say, well, my goodness, well, why not take everything? And everything is full joy. It's full overwhelming. It is. But brothers and sisters, she is going to be present with him, taking a throne, and then the age will move. As Brother Hill so emphasized over and over, we talked about this earlier, the constraining of the love of Christ. That must go on to press you and hold you in it. It must be that love that takes us on. As the church of Ephesus, you know, they went to church a lot. They did. The church of Ephesus went to church a lot. If you read about them, they had to go to church a lot. They knew a lot of things. They did a lot of things. But you know one thing about the church of Ephesus? Their love was limited. They were satisfied, if you will, with a good love, an acceptable love. But if you want to win him, it's got to be the first preeminent love, his very agape love overflowing. That church has happened to be called the Church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly, overflowing, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, brotherly love. Are we in it? Are we in it? Don't harbor any root of bitterness. It could be very costly. Extremely costly. This is the love, brothers and sisters, that approves excellent things. The preeminent love. And those that will possess this love, those are the ones that are going to be sharing in the exceeding riches of his grace. In the ages to come, in his kindness. I mean, you just think about God, and then you're talking about exceeding riches of grace that he wants to share. I want that. These are the ones that will stand sincere and clear to the light. These are the ones that will be the jasper stones of sun glory. Truly the ones in love whose love knowledge and loving judgment has become like him. Lord, I want to love like you. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, I believe we're on the mark for it. Praise God. But brothers and sisters, as Brother Paul was encouraging these ones that were, I mean, shoot, from the beginning until now, they had, in a sense, if you will, faltered. They stayed in first love, didn't they? That's really what that's encouraging there, right? But what did Paul say? Exactly what we read. It's more and more. It's more and more. And I know that one of the biggest things tonight that the Lord is mining in our hearts, if there be any root of bitterness, acknowledge it. That love in all judgment, let it judge your heart. Stop that. Let it break through. Let that fallow ground be broken up. There might be just a little piece. Ever see a really, sometimes my lawn can be so beautiful and all that. You walk out there and there's like this little teeny piece of desert. How did that get there? I blame the rabbits, you know. But one little piece. And I'll tell you what, that ain't going to last. I get out there and we get that good old grass seed, that soil that's already got the seed in it. And then, you know, I play like I'm a farmer. I'm out there watering it every day. And then it gets that cute little fuzz on it. That little fuzzy grass. Get some fuzzy love on that dry part. We really need it. All of us. We should be fellowshipping with every single one in here. I love you. Let's pray.